Blog Talk Radio.
Well, let's just see what happens. All right, we think we're live. PW Torch brings you
the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
All right, so Darren and I just talked for like 3 minutes, we thought the feed was live, and now we just got the indication our show finally started after we're talking for a few minutes. But I did record it, so we'll get it in the final version we put up. I think that we actually are live right now, but I don't know for sure because, you know, we've been having switchboard issues. But we'll pick up our conversation where I left off in a moment, although I am going to chime in here and see if I can even – I'm a listener now. So let's see here. Oh, yeah, I hear myself. Oh, how fun is that? All right. So, Darren, the first thing I did when Rock said the head of the table thing was look at WWE's, or maybe the second or third thing I did, but I looked at WWE's pay-per-view schedule.
Uh-huh.
Could The Rock challenge Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble? Or could The Rock challenge Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia? Would you rule those out as options for this? Because I don't. I mean, I think being part of that Perth, Australia event would be pretty damn cool. I don't think he's going to headline against Roman Reigns in Clarksville, Tennessee. on February 4th for NXT Vengeance, making a special appearance on NXT, although it would elevate the NXT brand. But why not the Royal Rumble? And, I mean, it's later this month, and it would be – it's at Tropicana Field. You know, it's a stadium show. It's in the vicinity of Rock's home base. Well, one of his home bases, I guess. And I don't know. So, yeah, do either of those intrigue you?
Well – not as much as a Mania match, obviously, but I don't think they would do it at the Rumble for the simple fact that they've been building for weeks that LA Knight, AJ Styles, and Orton are going to take each other on to get the title shot at Royal Rumble. So this would kind of be abrupt.
It would totally, and that's the thing I worry about with Rock against Roman at WrestleMania, if Cody were somehow not involved. Because we'll get back to your theory, talk about the triple threat match too. If Rock takes on Reigns and knocks Cody out of the picture, I think there's a chance of a backlash. Now, I don't think it's better than 50%. As popular as Cody is, I mean, look at the crowd tonight. They love Rock, and WWE's going to be cognizant of that. They've got smart people. Hey, they even have a wise man who can help steer them clear of a crowd rebellion. I guess they could do something with a triple threat match. And, you know, the winner getting hurt and Rock being a substitute, but people be like, oh, how convenient is that? That's why, and I wrote in my report covering Raw on the website, if I had a ticket to Elimination Chamber in Perth, I'd be a little more excited right now. My ears would be perked up. I'd be like, am I going to maybe see Rock against Roman Reigns? So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there because I don't think it's a given that hint means Rock's going to face him. That Rock is going to face Reigns at WrestleMania, either instead of or in addition to Cody. I don't think they dropped this hint in a way that would overshadow everything between now and WrestleMania or in beyond if it was a SummerSlam match, unless there's some really big, clever angle they have to sort of introduce Rock but then write him out and then have him come back this summer to try to pop things. So to me, I'm just sort of thinking – why not Perth, Australia? It'd be kind of a cool setting for Rock. He might look at that as a cool place to be, and WWE can brag about setting records for their February pay-per-view with that. So I throw that your way.
Sure. And there is one other piece of intrigue to add to that. I had not been thinking in that direction, but I do recall from last week, and I wish I could remember who I could attribute this bit to, but contracts for the Perth, Australia Elimination Chamber, I think whoever was negotiating on their side had asked to have Dwayne Johnson appear on the show. And it was, I mean, they just asked. That doesn't mean that they would get him.
Yeah.
But they did ask for him to make an appearance. So maybe they came to some kind of financial terms or something like that to actually get him. So maybe that is a possibility. I had not been thinking in that direction, but then I remembered that little news bit.
Yeah. Again, I'm just, you know, how I could imagine on Dwayne Johnson's bucket list, so to speak, that he would be like, yeah, I'll go main event in front of 65,000 people. I don't know how much seating would be added on the field versus cut away for the staging. But, you know, being in front of a sellout crowd of 60,000 in Australia would be kind of a cool moment in his career. He's had a lot of them. And it takes a little bit of the pressure off, I guess, if he's a little insecure. I don't know if Rock has insecurity. He probably does. Everybody does. About, you know, oh, you know, I'm a little rusty. WrestleMania, that's a big stage. I don't know. Rock seems like he's pretty supremely confident. So I don't know. Again, this is all just coming at us right now. I'm just kind of throwing stuff out there, seeing what path might make sense. And to me, I like Rock Reigns in Perth, Cody Reigns one-on-one at WrestleMania better if I'm a fan of everybody involved and if I'm WWE when it comes to business. That's my thinking. Now, some people are going to push back and go, you can't have Rock Reigns at anything but WrestleMania. I really get that. And that's the asterisk near any brainstorming. But I just think Cody's too important. And he's still too hot. I mean, he really is over with the fans. There's a connection there. And he's doing great work on the mic. So, and remember last year, Sami Zayn was going to overshadow Cody. And he didn't. You know, Sami had his moment. And then Cody had his moment. So, I don't know. Yeah, it's fun to think about.
Right. And they also have to be careful because once The Rock makes his appearance, whenever that might be in the next couple of months, you still have to – Cody's going to be your centerpiece guy going from the rest of the year and the upcoming years, supposedly, I would think.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful about, you know, get Bigfoot and him in this event, particular event. So, yeah, but that would work out, I think. But, again, you didn't want to have that for WrestleMania, but I guess you can make the Elimination Chamber its own, you know, two WrestleManias this year, essentially. Three, I guess, if you count the two nights.
Yeah, and the thing I don't know is I don't know Dwayne Johnson's schedule. And it could just work out that, like, February works for him and WrestleMania doesn't. I mean, and if that's the case, and you're TKO – you're Ari Emanuel, you're Nick Khan, you're like, okay, we have a chance to do Rock. We don't want to wait another year. We don't know where we'll be in a year. Roman might not be champion in a year. We might go a different direction with Cody. The only chance to sneak in a Rock Reigns match and fit Dwayne's schedule is to do it in Perth. And he kind of likes the idea of being in a stadium show down under. And, you know, so, yeah, people are going to jump to a lot of conclusions, and logically so, but if it fits his schedule or they're committed to Cody beating Roman at Mania, and like you said, and I'm saying too, you know, they want Cody, who's going to be a full-time guy every week on TV. They don't want to miss this moment just to pop a slightly larger – how many people are not going to watch WrestleMania but then are because of Rock? Some – that is a real number, but is it a year difference-making defining number? I don't know that it is, but not giving Cody his moment, having a backlash against The Rock, taking the steam out of a guy who's going to be there every week for you, who's in his prime, I'd say put Rock in Australia. Get that out of the way. And you can always do Roman against Rock in a rematch at Mania. You can have Roman win the belt back and have a rematch. It's not like you can't do it again at WrestleMania if it happens to work out, but don't interrupt the Cody story along the way.
True. And the way the business model is set up now, really, they're going to have record-setting viewership for Peacock. But does it really translate to dollars? That is another thing to consider, as you just pointed out. And as far as ticket sales, I'm pretty sure they're doing very well, if I'm not mistaken, for both nights.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can shoehorn in more seats or anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's not a business deal breaker anyway. It's just something to kind of brag about. That's not going to determine their year.
Now, the sad part is that nobody saw The Rock segment because Jinder Mahal talked for 4 minutes beforehand. And so Yes. It's like when you're behind by 3 goals with 2 minutes to go in an NHL game and you leave the building, or in the NFL, you're down by like 2.5 touchdowns with, you know, 1.5 left. You're like, ah. And then all of a sudden you get outside the building and you hear all these cheers and you're like, oh my God, I got to get back in. And security's like, nope, you left. You can't get back in. That doesn't happen to me because I stick around. But I do laugh at the people that happens to. And I know some people have babysitters and stuff they got to get to, but I still laugh at them. I stick around to the end. Everyone who turned off Raw to go put something else on, maybe a football, whatever's going on tonight. Is there
college football? Right, college football.
Yeah, college football. I did a double take because I know the Monday Night Football game was moved to Saturday night for the NFL, but there was college tonight, of course, because it's New Year's Day. So there's some people whose phones blew up and said, what do you think of the Rock segment? So they're like, huh? And they're like, no, it was Jinder, not Rock. You're messing with me. And no, Rock came out. So nobody watched it, but people can catch up on social media and YouTube and stuff, thankfully. So, but joking aside, I love the Jinder tease. I thought that was hilarious. I, in my Raw report at pwtorch.com, and I hope all of you are checking it out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday when I do live coverage of the major TV shows. I in my early in the report, hour before, 2 hours before Jinder came out, that it'd be Jinder Mahal. I also guessed Dolph Ziggler and Curtis Axel. Those are my three guesses. So I was covering a few bases, but I popped when Jinder came out because I'm like, okay, this is not the actual reveal. They're not that dumb. And I love that they just sold the idea that fans are just disappointed. And, you know, Barrett's like, this is great. This is totally what I wanted, which is great. Barrett's awesome right now. But the crowd is great. Jinder acknowledged it. And I thought Jinder cut a good promo. I thought it was one of his better promos. So, Darren, what you think of the tease and the Jinder promo?
Yeah, I had the same thought that he's going on a little bit too long for people who might not caught the signs that this is, you know, a false. He wasn't the guy that they were going to announce. And I could tell right away when Michael Cole said, oh, a little bit of disappointment because they wouldn't acknowledge that. So, sure, somebody else is coming out. I thought he did very well. I really compare any previous standout promos that he's done, but I thought he did well carrying his end. I didn't really care for some of the material, some of the anti-American stuff. It was so just basic and paint by numbers. And then the Rock, of course, everybody reacted to him, and he did what he's going to do, the kind of the lowbrow douchebag chants and all that kind of stuff. Not really my
That even went on longer than Rock wanted. Like, grab the
yeah.
Hey,
yes.
Okay, let's wrap it up, folks. Let's wrap it up. This isn't good TV. And I think it took an extra minute because the Natalya Tegan Nox tag, the aforementioned tag, and they went to a break a minute into the match. And they almost, and not that they never do that, but like, they probably were good planning to wrestle for like 2-3 minutes before the break,
right.
Maybe 2 minutes. So the segment probably went long because, and Rock's like, going, all right, wrapping it up. And I got a kick out of that too.
I thought that was kind of funny, but the whole segment was to deliver that last line. And which is what everybody's going to be talking about. And they did that very well, but they could have shortened that up a bit. It's going to be big ratings with The Rock out there, so I get extending the segment, but there was not much to the actual segment itself. Not my cup of tea, but I mean, the fans
right.
are just going absolutely crazy for it. I think they could work on some more material for these appearances for The Rock because they're just so, just as I said, lowbrow, but I think they could come up with something more clever.
Yes, one day, day one douchebag. Yeah, we can do better than that. I want to give Rock credit though, because people, you know, like really get confused about what freedom of speech means, and that it's just, you know, all encompassing, and that if you work for a newspaper, that you should get to write whatever you want in the newspaper because of freedom of speech. It's like, no, you work for a newspaper, and there's an editor, and there's a publisher, and you have to go through a filter. Or, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, there's a lot of examples of people who, like, literally don't understand freedom of speech just means the government not interfering with you expressing yourself, short of expressing yourself in a way that will cause violence or harm to others by instigating something like the old, you know, the old go-to example of yelling fire in a theater. So there's limitations and specifics. Rock covered that. I loved it. He's like, in this country, you get to say what you want without government interference. Which one is true, so applause. And number two, it was a perfect setup for him to go, but it doesn't guarantee I don't get to kick your ass for talking bad about this country in this ring. So I actually like that part. I thought it worked. What's Rock going to do but come out and do this shtick? Yes, there's different degrees of whether it lands or not. But, you know, Jinder was out there. mocking America and accusing America being divided. And my gosh, what an inaccurate, I mean, totally accurate statement from Jinder. He wasn't wrong. And then mocking us here in America by doing a pledge, was a Pledge of Allegiance or the National Anthem. And
National Anthem, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I honestly thought he was kind of clever, and it was a good setup. So, overall, I mean, I do give actually a thumbs up to the totality of it. But, yeah, I mean, Rock's material isn't always clever and top-notch, but I thought it was. Okay. I'm trying to remember how to do this because it's been weeks since our switchboard worked. I'm still not 1,000% sure it's working or going to hold up, but I do see callers on hold. We did get logged on, so new year, new beginning. Or whatever, we're back. So it's cool. So let's pause. Let's introduce the show. Let's actually give out the phone number if I remember what it is and the email, and we'll move from there. Now you forgot it's been so long. That dramatic pause is so I can cut to a commercial and come back and then you talk right away. All right. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. For Monday, January 1st, 2024. I did it. I was so nervous I was going to screw that up. I'm Wade Keller, host of the show, and we are here covering the day one edition of Monday Night Raw, which was in San Diego tonight. And the other voice you hear is Darren Lilly. He is a PW Torch contributor. He hosts a VIP exclusive Impact Wrestling-based weekly podcast. I'm sorry, a TNA-based podcast. We'll get to that. And also covers TNA Impact Wrestling on a weekly basis with a written report every Thursday night at pwtorch.com. Darren, I mean, we sit here talk about The Rock, WrestleMania speculation, what it means to Cody. We really do need to lead with how do you feel about the new year and the return of the TNA letters in the company that you cover?
Well, I'm still going to call it Impact against their edict because it's just I don't want to call it TNA. For multiple reasons. So I will be referring to the Thursday episodes of Impact Wrestling.
I still love your response. Still, when you've covered that, you know, and I'm clicking on your TV report, I'm like, what did Darren say when they announced that? And your response is great.
Yeah, I still feel the same way, but I guess I will eventually warm up to it. But yeah, it's exciting, the whole rebrand. The last few weeks, they kind of taken off doing recap shows and best ofs, that kind of thing. And they're going to relaunch here in a couple weeks, the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. They keep making announcements of who's going to be in the Ultimate X Knockouts match, that kind of thing. They've announced some new signings, some re-signings. So things are headed in an exciting direction. I'm excited about it, and we'll see how it goes.
Hey, if they really take off, we might do a Thursday Wade Keller post show on Impact, on TNA Impact now and then. We'll see. If they overtake AEW, Darren, what are you doing live on Thursday nights right after TNA Impact? Well, we might not go there. I don't want to step on your guys. But if they start doing 2 million viewers because, you know, Scott DeMore is right. People just weren't watching because TNA letters weren't associated with a brand anymore. You never know.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But, yes, if they hit 2 million viewers, by all means, yes, I will go live.
We can do a show every week or rotate with John or whatever.
Absolutely.
All right, back to Raw. We want to talk with you about it, and not just by email. We have our switchboard up and running. We think it'll work. We'll find out soon. Jump on the phone lines if you're live streaming our show. By the way, thank you for everybody who's called and is listening in. Maybe you're busy in the holidays and didn't know our switchboard was down the last few weeks. We didn't cover all last week because it was the best of, but the prior week or two, we didn't have the switchboard working, and now we do, and we're live streaming again. So thank you for joining us. Some of you are just tuning in because, hey, The Rock was back, and we want to hear what Wade and his guest have to say. So thank you for joining us. If you are live streaming the show, but you want to be on the show and comment on Rock or anything else about tonight's Raw, you are invited to call. The number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad. That flags you on our switchboard so that we know you want to be on the show. Now, you can also email us now or at any time, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That's Wade Keller Podcast Excuse me, I got that wrong. WaveKillerPodcast@gmail.com. Although me making the error helps point it out to you, we changed our email to WaveKillerPodcast@gmail.com, not at PW Torch. We're having trouble with our server bouncing emails. Some of you were sending emails for months and we weren't getting them, and fixing it was going to be a hassle and we'd end up with some of the same issues. So we just went to Gmail. So if you want to email the show, it's WaveKillerPodcast@gmail.com. You can also send emails, especially if you're not listening to us live tonight, for tomorrow's flagship edition of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, our Blue Logo Show. Rich Fan, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, will be joining me. We're going to talk some about the Iron Claw movie. Rich and I have both seen it. We've both written about it, and we both talked about it, and we'll talk with each other about it for the first time on the flagship tomorrow. But you can call or you can email us with other topic suggestions or questions or rants and comments, WadeKellerPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be recording late Tuesday afternoon, so get those emails in quickly if you're listening to us sometime on Tuesday. All right, I think that covers the major bases. So let's begin, actually, and I hope everybody who is on hold can remain on hold, but we're going to start with our on-site correspondent calling us from San Diego, California. Eric, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling us. How are you?
I'm doing well, Wade. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much for calling. Excited to have you on. You got a special memory that you probably weren't expecting tonight.
Yeah. You know, first of all, I'm happy that your switchboard is working because I know that's been a struggle for you over the last bit of time. But yeah, you know, I'm happy that we got tickets to the show. We were, my wife, this is her first time going to the show, going to any wrestling show. So I was almost 50-50 on going just because we had a lot happening. And I thought, you know, let's go. And yeah, certainly happy that we did. It was definitely a show to remember.
So when Jinder Mahal came out, I mean, the crowd reacted like, what? No way. Do you think people knew, or do you think people didn't know that Jinder was not the actual surprise and that something else was coming? What was the buzz in the building, and what did you think?
Yeah, so I think that there was buzz of The Rock in general. People were on Twitter and saw, you know, him in Pasadena earlier in the day, and, you know, I think that speculation was out there right when Jinder came out. Me being someone that follows your podcasts and things like that, I'm a little, you know, I'm smart to a lot of that, so I thought there's no way that Triple H is sending out the tweets and the rumors are this and it's going to be Jinder Mahal. So I went to my wife, I whispered in her ear, I said, this is not the guy. She said this to the guy next to her, this isn't going to be the guy. And the guy goes, really? You don't think this is it? So I think it may have been a little split. I think some fans, you know, really thought that it may have been that, and some others. I certainly, when Jinder came out, thought, okay, you know, he'll cut the heel promo and maybe we'll get a big name. I was crossing my fingers that it was going to be The Rock, but, you know, until the music hit, I was skeptical. And then when it happened, it just blew the roof off the place.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. So I got the sense that the crowd was very into The Rock. What was it like in the building? I'm being a little facetious here. Eric, was it 100%? Yes, this is great. High enthusiasm the whole time. What stood out to you about the crowd reaction and the segment itself in the building?
Yeah, it was 100% approval rating. I mean, it wasn't, you know, even there. I don't think there was one person that was not on their feet. You know, when Jinder was cutting the promo with the America, the anti-America angle, part of me started thinking, is like, it going to be like a Kurt Angle comeback? And I started thinking, oh, God, like, he's great. I love Kurt Angle. But, like, when I'm thinking maybe The Rock and then I'm hearing this America angle, I'm like, okay, maybe that was the direction that they were going to go. But I think once The Rock music hit, I mean, everybody just went nuts. Everybody on their feet. They stayed on their feet. You know, I felt awful, and we'll talk about it maybe after, but the tag team match afterwards, there was not a sound in the building for those women, unfortunately, you know, with that going after The Rock. You know, people, it was definitely a kind of a letdown for them. But, no, the segment itself, everybody was on their feet. Everybody was excited the entire time. It was amazing.
Darren, do you want to jump in with a question for Eric?
Was there any disappointment that CM Punk wasn't there this week?
Yeah, there were definitely, you know, obviously before, I haven't been to a show in a couple of years, but it's the same deal. I mean, you get the chance beforehand, you know, you have the woos with Ric Flair. There was one CM Punk chant. There were a couple of CM Punk shirts. I think in general, to be honest with you, it was such a loaded card you know, with the championship matches, with the Rhea match, with the Seth match, and then you get the Rock. But in general, they flashed that CM Punk was going to be on next week, and it did get a groan. But overall, I don't think anybody really was overly upset about not seeing him just based on what they got. You know, I don't think, I mean, I'll speak for myself, but I think most, you know, I certainly would take The Rock, you know, over a CM Punk. I there's only so much you can load into one show, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, Punk's going to be around presumably for a while, and he'll probably be in San Diego sometime later this year or within a year and a half. I don't know how often they'll go there and if it'll be a SmackDown show or what, but I mean, good chance San Diego or he's going to have a chance to see him, but Rock, it's very infrequent. So, yeah, I think there's a little bit more, appeal to a surprise Rock appearance than Punk. But obviously there's some people who are over Rock and don't find his act enticing, and they would much rather be present for a magical moment with Punk. I mean, I'm sure that there are a small number, but this, like you said, this is a load of show. You got a world title match, women's title match, not an A-level women's title match, but still. And, you know, Becky Lynch in action and Cody's promo. I mean, there was enough on this show, even without Rock, that I think people wouldn't be real resentful. But once you add Rock to the mix and gender, then yeah, it puts it over the top.
Yeah. I
want to get
you... Yeah, go ahead, Wayne.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I just, seeing him in person too, he's such a larger than life figure, The Rock. So, I mean, I think obviously people are into CM Punk. He's hot right now, but just seeing The Rock, I mean, just his physical build, just him in person, I think people were in awe. He's such a big star. You know, San Diego, I'm from Chicago, so I'm used to, like, the Chicago wrestling crowds and all of that. San Diego's a little bit more laid back. It's a little bit of a different, you know, vibe. But just having him there, I mean, I think it's a night that a lot of people are going to remember. And I just look at it just, you know, black and white. You know, a CM Punk match would have been epic, maybe. But The Rock appearance, I mean, again, my wife, I'd bring her up again. Not a wrestling fan, first show. Just, she can't wait to come back, you know, so excited about The Rock being there, just couldn't believe it. And I think you're really appealing to just everybody by having somebody there, just with how that went down.
Yeah, for sure. Talk about the crowd reaction for Drew and Seth, and also their reaction to the finish. Were they okay with it? Did it seem like, hey, you know, we got what we wanted, or no, that was kind of screwy, and... you know, it was kind of a TV finish, not a pay-per-view finish in a way. Not that being on TV is an excuse to not do a clean finish. So, yeah, just what was kind of the ebb and flow, the emotions from ring introductions from both guys to the finish?
Sure. Drew got a pretty good reaction, I would say. You know, he has such a great entrance with the fire and everything. I mean, it gets a lot of the people up. So just in general, I think he got a good reaction. Seth, I've been of the mind for a while that it's kind of a mid-card act. And, you know, I can't, he was so good with what he used to do. And now it's like the singing and dancing, like, what is his character? I just, you know, I have not been I totally get the music and the appeal, but if you take the song away, he's an amazing wrestler, but the character is like, whatever. Still, that's an unpopular opinion, I guess. In general, the crowd was really into him. They sang the song. They didn't, you know, carry out the song as long as, you know, he would during a promo or whatever it may be. But, I mean, it was exciting stuff with both of them. The match itself was really, I mean, good spots. You know, they're both so good. So that was just fantastic to watch. Crowd was into the match. And then with the finish, you know, unfortunately it was kind of that TV finish that you get. You know, I was kind of anticipating Priest coming out, just knowing it's, you know, he wasn't out there earlier with any of the segments. The Money in the Bank is out there. So, you know, it's one of those deals that it was a little bit of an expectation. And how many times can you have them come out, not cash in, and have people really take it seriously or care? So, you know, we'll see once they eventually – I think it was cool to have it on them, the Money in the Bank, but now it's just kind of getting a little bit old. So, you know, I think the crowd was a little bit whatever about the finish, but overall, you know, I think they were happy to see Seth retain, and I think it keeps everything on track with, like, you know, the whole CM Punk lane with him, and obviously we'll see what happens with Coman and Cody and Roman, but you know, those tracks seem likely, even with this, you know, with The Rock coming in here, and I think Seth winning kind of solidified that CM Punk match coming up at, you know, in Mania.
Yeah. Did anything happen after the match? Raw went off the air pretty quickly, pinfall. anything for the live audience? I know it's still pretty early there, so they certainly don't need to rush out of the building.
We kind of left right away because the way that everything was looking looked like they weren't going to do anything after. There was nothing announced ahead of time that was going to happen after, and we kind of figured that with Rock and with everything else, they weren't going to do a match after. So we got out of there pretty much right when the copyright hit. We were out. And then as we were kind of driving out, everybody was rushing out. So I don't know for a fact, but it seemed like they kind of just split, went their separate ways. And then just based on seeing everybody kind of come out a couple minutes after, I don't think they did anything major after. If they did, that I didn't see it.
Bonus Brock Lesnar CM Punk dark main event.
Yeah. Yeah, if they did the Lesnar CM Punk dark main event, yeah, I'm going to be driving back right now. I just got home, and I'm going to get back on the road. If that's what they did.
I should not have done that. Okay, on a more serious but also less serious note, did the R-Truth tag match bit work? Where he was in a neutral corner, thought he was with Judgment Day or pretending to team with them, delusional that he really is with them, and frustrating Miz a little bit. Did it work with a part of the audience in a way where you think, yeah, that was a lot of fun, or were people kind of checked out?
Yeah. No, it worked. It worked a lot for that audience. Again, San Diego is it's a much more casual vibe, I think, to it. I don't know. It's hard to, it's just so different from the Chicago crowds that I'm used to. They popped for him when he came out. They were into it. I mean, I was around, we were like right next to the hard camera in that area. So we had a good seat, and we were around like a lot of kids that were near us. And they were all loving it. I mean, I think it just really worked for what that was. And I'll tell you what, I was super curious with Dom how the crowd was going to react to him. Just being a San Diego local, you know, I wasn't sure if he was going to get, because Nia Jax got a decent pop because they announced her from San Diego. And so she got actually a decent reaction with Dom being from San Diego. I was like, okay, I'm very curious. And I mean, the heat is amazing in the building. I watch it on TV. I know, you know, sometimes it's piped in or maybe not so often or whatever, but you know, the boos in the building were loud for Dom, and it was cool. It was really cool. He's doing such a good job. But it was really cool in his own hometown, him getting that love, which the love being the boos. And I think that was great.
That's the thing. You got to boo someone who wants to get booed if you want to respect them and show appreciation for them. Unless, you know, it's Swerve Strickland and you're just like, come on, AEW Tony Khan, you're completely miscasting him. We want permission to cheer this guy, or Samoa Joe, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I know people think boos are sometimes piped in and then the crowd just kind of picks up on it and explodes. Did you have any sense of that? Because on TV, I mean, it was very loud. As soon as Dom put the mic up to his mouth, you have been able to tell if they were piping in boos, or were you just surrounded by people who were like, that's our cue, boo?
Yeah, no, it was more so. I don't think I'll look back and I'll listen, and it may have been piped in. I have the West Coast feed, so it's on right now. I don't think they piped it in. It was really, really loud. It was loud the whole time. It got louder and louder. I mean, The Miz is such a master, too. It's just like his way to hype everybody up. I mean, he's just high end with his work. So, you know, I think it was all legit. And it's really interesting, and just to deviate for a second, the contrast, Rhea got one of the biggest pops and one of the biggest babyface reactions of the night. It's such an interesting kind of dynamic that they have, where you got all the boos and then Rhea is so respected and treated so well. And obviously part of that may have been the opponent, kind of an unknown and all that. But I mean, it was amazing to see the boos from Dom, and then in contrast, just the absolute cheers from Rhea. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer they can keep her positioned against baby faces. It's not fair to baby faces, you know, because people really like her. I have a feeling Nia Jax getting a big win over Becky is setting up a Ripley-Nia Jax match that, you know, could be WrestleMania or somewhere around there, and, you know, setting up Rhea to have a big triumphant moment. So speaking of that, was the crowd just shocked, and did it take the wind out of their sails when Becky lost clean, or what? And was the crowd into that match? Did people give it a chance and get into it, or not? How would you assess how Nia Jax as a heel and just in general, Becky Lynch is still a top babyface act did in front of that San Diego crowd.
I think they were into it. I definitely think, you know, it was a good show to lead off with. You know, I think that the Jax win was a shocker. I, again, feel pretty, like I follow everything pretty closely. I definitely thought Becky was going to win. I think you're totally right about your prediction on where they're taking her and Rhea. I think that makes a lot of sense. The crowd was super into it. You know, I think based on other matches later, they were into other matches a little bit more. The Jax win was a total shock. Crowd was super into Becky. They did a nice job hyping the match ahead of time with the video package. I think it was a nice kind of recap of kind of how they got there in general. But, yeah, definitely really surprising. And I think the crowd was into it. The crowd was definitely – the finish, I mean, it was, yeah, shocking stuff. But I think, again, you're on the right course with your thought process.
Can you rank the babyface responses for the night? Where was Becky compared to Rhea, compared to Seth, compared to Cody? Setting aside Rock, I assume he's, you know, number one, and you know, because of the surprise element and obviously the movie star quality. But if I'm wrong, there, correct me too.
No, I mean The Rock was won by a mile. Cody got a huge reaction. Cody got a huge reaction. I think overall, I would say the number one reaction was probably a tie between Cody and Rhea. You know, I think Rhea really is up there. I think Seth probably was a little bit lower than her. You know, and then Becky was probably right there too. But I think honestly, I think Cody is just so hot. I'm looking at like the shirts, especially that the kids are wearing and the merch that's coming off the shelves. And I mean, Cody is just, I think the crowd was disappointed at how abrupt that segment ended because they were so hot on him. I think he was far and away the biggest, and his entrance is just so big. I mean, the fireworks and the way they do this pounding, this noise. I haven't been to a live event where they're really, I don't know if you know what I'm saying, but they with all these entrances, they do this like pounding noise. With the Judgment Day, they do it. With Drew, they do it. With Cody, they do it, where it almost just, it amplifies their entrance, and it's really hard on your ears. I'm only 33. I feel like an old man. But these entrances are very loud. I do sound like an old man. That's okay. But Cody, anyway, his entrance is so amazing that I think it really got the crowd into it. He just was probably number one outside of The Rock. But, you know, I all of them are kind of in that range. You know, and I think that's pretty much it.
Darren, anything else you want to bring up here?
Sure. Yeah, I'm always intrigued when someone, it's their first time attending a show, such as your wife on the show tonight. Were there any of the performers that stood out to her that kind of caught her eye?
You don't want to answer? Yeah, why don't you go ahead? Go ahead and answer. She's in the car with me here. What do you think?
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Really putting me on the spot here. So Eric asked me, like, if The Rock didn't show up to the, you know, event tonight, would I still have liked it as much as I did? And I think I would have. Like, it was really, you know, I don't really follow it. I sometimes watch it on TV when he's watching it. But I would say the Rhea Ripley match was really, really fun to watch. And then Seth Rollins, actually, he works out at my best friend's gym in Brooklyn. So I kind of have a connection to him in that way.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I was taking photos of him and sending it to her. So he was really fun for me to watch, too, and, like, the crowd and the song and all of that.
One thing she pointed out, and again, I was checking the whole time, just kind of getting a sense, because you never know when someone has never seen it, know of that. But she thought that the fans were really interesting.
Yeah.
Just getting a fan base, you know, as you know, Wade, you know, there's nothing like the WWE fans. They're just so loyal and unique, and it's different than going to a football game or a basketball game. And it's just a crowd that is just in love with the, you know, just so immersed and so invested. And I think that she also found that to be just really delightful, as you know, I think a way to describe it.
It was
so
fun.
That and the entrances, I also think they're just so impressive in person. So I think that those couple things I think were really cool.
Nice.
So what I want to know is, what's Seth's reputation when he goes to the gym? Nice guy. does he spot for people when asked, or does he act like, no, I'm too busy, I'm a star, don't you know who I am?
I can't really speak to that. It's a CrossFit gym, I can say that. So it's a, yes,
of
Miami.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, yeah, like skull and crossbones on the outside of the building. And, yeah, it's pretty intense.
She, whenever we talk to her friend, she always speaks to, yeah. Becky goes to, and always talks positively about both of them. And
yeah.
They seem generous with their time. And
yeah.
I'm partial to him. I'm a Bears fan, just like he is. Sorry, Wade, I know you're Vikings. But, so I'm a little partial to that, I guess, even though I think he's a big turn. But, yeah, in terms of gym etiquette, you know, it's all good, I think, you know, from our perspective.
Very good. Hey, I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask. Maybe there's, you know, some interesting scoop that he's the most hated man at all the gyms he goes to or something. Awesome. Is there anything else either of you want to add before we let you guys go in terms of your experience at the show, any observations otherwise?
No, I mean, I think the crowd, it was, I'll be quick. I just think the crowd was really, the product is just hot right now. I mean, it's all that you can say. I've followed it through the ups and downs, and the product is hot. It's so obvious. It was a sellout. I think I heard Miz say 20,000. It wasn't 20, but it was 11,000 strong, you know, and it was, everybody was very into it the whole time. And again, you have people like my wife who have never been to a show and don't follow it closely, yet they go there and they're intrigued by it. And I really think that speaks positively to what they have going on right now. And then when you get a big name like The Rock in there, you know, it's just super exciting stuff. So, I think that's kind of where we fall on it. And I'll just say, Wade, for you personally, I've been a VIP subscriber, member, however you say it, for a while. And you just do amazing stuff,
yeah.
Man. Just keep up the great work with everything that you're doing. You know, the podcasts are great. I listen to The Fix. I listen to everything that you do. And you really take, you know, I like watching the product, but I actually like the analysis more than the product, because you really break down things in a way that I think is easy to understand. You know, you have a great way about you. So it's just, I've been listening to you for a long time, and if anybody's not a VIP subscriber, it's super inexpensive, and you're given to a great cause for great journalism. And, you know, I just want you to keep up the great work, because you're doing great stuff.
Well, you are, don't let this go to your head, Eric, but you are the caller of the year.
January 1st. Well, that's quite an honor. Thank you.
I'm not going to say whether you're the first caller on tonight's show, but you are. But you are the caller of the year. I'll put it this way to be nicer. It's a hard act for everyone else to follow, but I hope everyone tries. I really appreciate those kind words, Eric.
I will say just a PSA, if you're going to bring your children to the event, to bring ear protection. Plugs for earplugs for your ears, even as an adult, like it is so loud. Like it really can, like all the kids were covering their ears and like some of them were crying because it's so loud. So bring ear protection for your children.
So you get a PSA out of us too, Wade. We're going we're there
great.
For everybody. You know?
Hey, We have saved some children from hearing difficulties in their lives based on that. So that's true. And really, noise canceling over the ear headphones. I mean, there's kids, you see them wearing them sometimes at ringside, and it is a good option for younger people or anyone who's sensitive to loud noises.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I sincerely appreciate the kind of words, joking aside, that made my night. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, let's move to our other callers here and continue our discussion. The number, if you want to get in line on the phone lines, is 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1. All right, we will begin with Jay in Hartford, and then Joe and William are the next two among those on hold. Jay, welcome. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Hey, Wade, Darren, good evening. Happy New Year. Wade, it's been a while, so glad I could call in tonight. So where to begin, right? I was going to try to not start with The Rock, but since you guys were talking about him earlier, Wade, something you've said quite a few times recently is how the WWE doesn't need CM Punk, right? You know, as far as just, you know, how well they're doing with business and everything right now. And I mean, obviously The Rock, like, it doesn't get any bigger right now, but I don't know that they need him, you know, for Mania. So I just wanted to throw that out there to say, like, you know, I guess siding with you, if that makes sense. Like, I'd actually rather hope that they go the Elimination Chamber out for the Rock Roman match if they're going to do that now, because I am a Cody fan who, you know, I want to see him finish his story. I want to see him get his moment. I don't want to see him defeat, like, you know, Randy Orton or, you know, someone random for the championship. You know, I've seen people commenting on Twitter to say, oh, well, the head of the table match doesn't have to be for the title. And no, it doesn't, but Cody defeating Roman, that's, or defeating like Orton or someone, again, random, is not what I personally would want to see. So I hope they get it out of the way, Elimination Chamber or, you know, whenever, but give Cody his moment, right? I wanted it last year. We didn't get it. And I feel like, you know, I'm a fan of this last year, or, you know, year plus with the WWE under Triple H's, I guess, leadership, right? You know, and the way they've kind of handled their storylines. So I just think that we need to see Cody get his moment in the sun, and The Rock. I mean, he's one of my all-time favorites, but, you know, I forget the name of the random city that you called out, right? But I don't care if they did it in, you know, Kentucky or whatever it was that you said, like, just give Cody his Mania moment. So along those lines, right, speaking of, like, who the WWE doesn't need, if it's okay for me to go this route, when they were teasing a champion showing up tonight, you know, you look online and people were talking about Sasha Banks, right, Mercedes Moné, what have you. And so I'm curious your opinion on something, Wade. I was reading, you know, Twitter today, people were saying, and I know you don't always get into the rumors, so I don't know what's true, what's not, you know, who knows, but that she could potentially be close to an AEW deal, or she may show up there this week. And something that occurred to me, like, just as I watched Raw tonight and thought about how they don't need The Rock, they don't need Punk, like, they don't need Sasha, right? And I personally, when I look at the landscape, we have Becky Lynch, we have Bianca, we have Rhea. Rhea is such a huge star right now. Charlotte, yeah. And then, you know, your Romans and your Codys. I almost feel like it would actually benefit Sasha Banks better to go to AEW, where she's able to be seen as a star. So there's a couple things I want to say about Raw, but I was just curious your take on that. Like, I think that would be the better move for her because she doesn't have as much competition there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's better for her, and I think it's better for pro wrestling for her to go to AEW than WWE, because, like you brought up with Punk, I mean, it's good to have him, but they don't need him. AEW could really use a spark, and they could really use a true top-tier female talent who can come in there, you know, more than Paige, more than Toni Storm, more than people who have some WWE television or NXT TV experience. Sasha would, you know, Mercedes would be instantly the biggest female star that they've had, you know, and more so than Jade Cargill, obviously, because she was a project. So I like that because I think she, you know, give her up. Other women in AEW, and it can help. And I mean, who wouldn't want to see Toni Storm against Mercedes Moné AEW pay-per-view? So, you know, and others too. I mean, it would just take things to the next level. So, or you know, yeah, Stokely Hathaway managing Chris Statlander against Mercedes Moné. I mean, that's going to elevate Statlander. So whoever AEW is, you know, Tony Khan believes is worth investing in, you can get a boost out of it. And Sasha going to WWE, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if she's, you know, from what I'm told for people in WWE, I mean, there's still leeriness about her ego. And I think there's a concern that you lay out there, Jay, which is she going to be okay coming back and not being the number one centerpiece, be all end all priority? You know, she, and part of what makes her a star is she thinks highly of herself, and she would want a lot of money. And, you know, obviously she's particular or demanding of the respect that she believes she's due when it comes to match finishes and how she's framed. She's going to be more likely to get that in AEW than WWE, right, just being real upfront about it. So I think it's a better fit. And I don't, you know, I know from It's not like Paul Levesque doesn't want her, but he doesn't want her at any cost. Or he doesn't want her if she feels that she needs to be, you know, everyone's got to make up for the wrong that was done to her and that kind of thing. So, Darren, what do you think? Where do you think it's better for her to land? Where would you like to see her land?
I'm leaning towards AEW. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and they could use somebody that's a strong presence in the women's division to get that rolling, and I think she's just the perfect person. You bring a lot of her fan base there as well, and that's a big important aspect of it, and there is room for growth there to feature her, whereas, as Jay pointed out, they're kind of rolling in WWE, and but if she were to go there, I don't think it would be a disaster because I think that they would find a way to showcase her and put her in some good feuds. And she's, you know, a fantastic wrestler. So I think she would be featured enough. I don't think it would be a disaster if she were to come back and they were to come to terms. And who knows, that could still happen. I think that would add a spark to their division because quite frankly, on SmackDown, they could use a little spark. Charlotte's out.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I don't know what direction the damage control thing is going. They could use a little bit of a spark there. I thought they were headed toward a Four Horsewomen reunion, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
with Bayley getting kicked out. And that would have certainly ignited a little bit of a spark. So they could definitely use her. I think there's still room. And, I mean, what's going on in the on the Raw side of the women's division, Rhea always needs challengers. I'm sure she'll have Nia, but after that, I don't know if they're going in the direction of Becky now after tonight's results. Who knows? But they could. It wouldn't hurt for her to join the Raw side either. So I think she's got a couple of good options. But I hope
it's Jay. Yeah. Yeah, Jay, any response to that and anything else you want to bring up?
Not really a response other than I appreciate you two kind of going into it. You know, again, it just kind of stood out to me tonight. Like, you know, when she wasn't the former champion to show up, I'm thinking like, you know, the company's fine if she doesn't, you know, nothing against her. I love her and I'd love to see her wherever she pops up. But I'm thinking like, you know, yeah, that they don't need her. But I'd like to kind of use that to pivot too. It's funny, way because I kind of feel like Kyle, right? I want to talk about the women some more here tonight. like they, so... I didn't the Ivy Nile Rhea match. First of all, it to be delivered, right? I didn't know what to expect, but
yeah.
It was an enjoyable match. My problem was they presented this show, you know, oh, day one, you know, you have this themed Raw, and honestly, I didn't think that outside of The Rock and his, you know, final line about head of the table. I thought it was just like a decent Raw. Like I thought both of the world title matches were kind of like foregone conclusions, you know, and everything. But with the Ivy Nile Rhea match specifically, it was almost comical to me that they built this up as day one Raw. It's Ivy Nile versus Rhea. I'm like, people don't even know her. Like I do, you know, I'm familiar with her coming from NXT, but all we've seen mostly is backstage segments with the New Day. And
yeah.
Like, so I'm like, really? And so, I appreciated that they had the video package on her before the match. And I'm thinking, okay, this is going to build her up a little bit. But I feel like they negated it somewhat when they had the video package on Rhea. I'm like, well, they just continue to tell us that Rhea's going to win this thing. So it just, but the match was enjoyable.
We knew without the video package on Rhea. We knew without the video package on Rhea. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. But.
Exactly. So true. No, I get it.
I don't think that's way too many people, but yeah.
It made me feel
I know
really
what you're
good that they did the video package on Ivy Nile, and then I'm like,
yeah,
you know, and then, yeah. So, so one more question, two more things on the women, I'll let you get to some other callers. I actually appreciate that they put Nia Jax over Becky. I did not expect it. Now, that is one match that I thought deserved the billing. If you had asked me, was I going to be excited for a Nia Jax, Becky Lynch match? I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever. But I thought they did well building it up, you know, first time ever, playing into the history. And I did not expect Nia to get the win. So I'm not sure if that was a surprise to anyone else, but I just knew Becky's going over here. And I think Nia needed the win much more than Becky. And, you know, Becky's already been made as far as, you know, she's a star. She's had a WrestleMania main event, things of that nature. I think this is a far better move as in, you know, if they're building towards Nia against Rhea or what have you, you know, I don't think this hurts Becky at all. She's Becky. She's the man, and she can bounce back down the line. But that was a shock to me, so I'm not sure, you know, what you think about that, and if you think it was a good move, which I actually do.
Darren, what'd you think of that?
I had questions because I wonder if they're going to continue this feud, make it like a three-match series or something because Royal Rumble's coming up and Elimination Chamber. You got to have something for that. And I'm thinking maybe Becky in the storyline, you know, gets, you know, trains or whatever and is able to overcome Nia at some point. Or if this is just it and they build up Nia to take on Rhea for the big match at Mania, perhaps. So I'm intrigued what's going to happen next week, how they follow this up. I think that's going to be a big indication. And again, going back to Becky's contract status, I wonder, because I heard that's up in 2024. I don't expect she would go anywhere, but I wonder if that perhaps played into it, perhaps. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, if mm-hmm. she hasn't re-signed, I mean, I wouldn't rule out that it played into it, but this is so consistent with building up Nia Jax for being dominant over everybody until there's someone she's not. And Becky doesn't need that kind of rub. You know, you'd expect Becky to beat Nia Jax. It's, oh, okay, now it defines Becky where she is. It defines Nia Jax where people perceived her.
Right.
And that's not the story that I was sort of, you know, hinted at. You know, Nia's back for a reason, and there's an endpoint to this push of her. And I also think WWE's really confident that Becky's going to be reasonable and, you know, and that they're going to keep her, you know, because of Seth. I mean, I have somebody, you know, a current wrestler, and they just sort of, you know, laughed at the notion that Becky would leave. Like, nah, that's not, you know, they're going to work it out. So I think it's worth bringing up, but I just would say I think the job was – Becky losing was – and actually a couple people that in WWE was texting about it after the finish. And, it, you know, the consensus is, yeah, this is just to have Becky have to fight from underneath, that they feel she's better in that role. That's, you know, we can argue, hey, losing to Nia Jax defines her down. You shouldn't be doing that. I will hear that argument and not think you're crazy, but I think WWE's strategy is they've got a story arc for Becky coming out of this that they believe in, but they also want to keep Nia Jax strong. And so I wasn't as shocked that that Nia Jax won, but I wasn't sure she was going to by any means. And when you see Becky lose clean to anybody, it's surprising, and it ought to be, but that's brave booking. You know, that's what we want. We want to be thrown off a little bit. You don't want everybody who you imagine gets paid more winning matches against people who you imagine getting paid less. And, you know, with almost without exception, AEW's Continental Classic was that. It was still very enjoyable, but, you know, they didn't really do much in the way of, oh, I didn't expect that. And wrestling fans like that. You know, we hear that a lot on the show. People don't want to know every finish before it happens. And you want some unpredictable finishes. And sometimes your favorites lose. And that's part of the, you know, the thrill of victory and agony of defeat watching as a fan. Jay, back to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you both. Yeah. So again, you know, with knowing who was going to, or having a good idea who was going to win the world title match, I really appreciated that they gave Nia the victory there. And I'll say this way, I usually watch Raw via DVR, you know, and I saw it live tonight. So, you know, you know, you're watching the show, you're not fast forwarding through it. You're forced to sit here for 3 hours, like, give me something,
yeah.
You know, that I can say, I didn't expect that, you know? So my last point,
yeah.
You can get to someone else is, the women's division, the way that they book it overall, like especially on Raw, so it kind of goes back to the Ivy Nile. Like, I don't think they built her up enough for her title match tonight. It kind of felt like watching AEW where they pull out random Ring of Honor people for, like, title matches, and I'm like, I've never seen this person. You know, reminding me of that a little bit. But the oh, gosh, Natalya and Tegan, I'm just going to throw this question out here. Zoe Stark and Shayna, are they faces? Are they heels? I think they're faces, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Are they just there?
I think they are just who they are. I mean, they haven't given us a firm, consistent reason to strongly root for or against them, and I think it is sort of contextual. Darren, what do you think?
I think they're heels, but yeah, they're not clearly defined by any means. So they're kind of like the Blackpool Combat Club in a way that they kind of depending on the storyline.
They're kind of like two loners who found each other who are sort of badasses. Like, they're just, you imagine they do have some things in common. They just kind of come across as they're going to do their own thing regardless and they're not really traditional either role. I mean, I think Darren's right. They're meant to be heels, but I wouldn't be shocked. I'm not going to be shocked if they're against a heel tag team and WWE's okay with them being cheered in a match either. It doesn't feel real strong, and you don't want too much of that. And eventually you kind of want to give people a reason to like or dislike someone, because that's part of defining characters is, you know, having sort of a unified constitution that either is a, you know, turns fans off or makes them root for them. But I think they see them as utility players in the middle of that division at this point.
I mean, I appreciate that, and I'll kind of accept it as such. It makes it hard for me to, you know, be invested, right? You're trying to enjoy these matches, and, you know, after the whole Shayna Ronda Rousey thing, the crowd was behind her. I'm like, okay, she's a face. I thought, you know, they're going to push her. And then Zoe was with Trish. They were heels.
Yep.
They split. I'm like, okay, now Zoe's a face. But then, not so much, you know. So because they're talented. Such as Zoe's a spark. I think she's really talented in the ring. But to see them come out, you know, being in those live crowds, not knowing how to react to them, you know, I feel like it just kind of hurts the the match. And again, they came after The Rock tonight, right? So, of course, they're like the on-site correspondents that kind of took the air out of the crowd a little bit. But I just wish they would do more. And you have people like that. I understand that everyone has their role. Some folks are just – but, Darren, you brought up the BCC and AEW. I'll say this, and I'm hanging up, Wade. But, like, Daniel Bryan, my absolute favorite wrestler of all time. He surpassed Randy Savage. Like, he's number one on my all-time list. And I can't stand the way the BCC are presented. I just don't like 1 week.
Yeah.
And I've tried to resign myself to, yes, they're who they are. But like 1 week I'm cheering you, and the next week I guess I'm booing you. Like, and I want to love them or hate them. And AEW hasn't done enough to you know, it's just the back and forth. Like, at least they'll take Brock and they'll put him in a feud, and I know I can cheer Brock Lesnar for 3 months or boo him for 3 months. It's not a week change, which is what I see with the BCC or what I see with this, you know, Zoe and Shane. It's like, okay, just get off my screen and get to someone that I can like care about, you know, that makes me like enjoy watching the show and have a reason to, you know, to be engaged. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. I think you're right. And, having mid-card utility players who are in sort of a transition period and management's not sure how they want them to be and they might change their mind, that's not as important as something like Blackpool Combat Club, where it's like, give us we're not going to boo them, so stop trying and stop sabotaging the baby faces they face, because we want to cheer everybody in Blackpool Combat Club.
Exactly.
Jay, thanks so much. Good to hear from you, and hope you catch Raw live more often and you can join us.
Sounds good. Thanks, Wade. Thanks, Darren.
Cool. Yep, you bet. Thank you. Okay, 908, you're up next. Go ahead. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Jimmy.
Go ahead,
from New Jersey.
Hey, Jimmy, how's it going? What do you think of Raw tonight? What's in your mind?
Good, how are you? I thought it was really good. The previous caller hit on my points, unfortunately, but I did just want to comment on the fact that I think the people who really think that Roman and Cody is bigger than Rock and Roman. I mean, I've been watching wrestling since I was 11. I'm 32. I can't actually imagine them putting this match on a pay-per-view that's going to air Eastern time, which is their domestic market, at 2 a.m.
Yep.
I can't see that. And I understand the previous caller must really like Cody a lot, and I do as well, but I've been listening to you for years. You are listening to you on drives and all that stuff. Is it about money? I mean, I can't imagine any other reason not to put this match at WrestleMania as opposed to, what is it, Elimination Chamber, I think is 2 months away. And I would be shocked that Rock and Roman was teased before Cody was even in WWE. He was in AEW. And I understand this whole, you know, finish the story nonsense, but I don't know from a business perspective how Triple H, Nick Khan, whoever involved, actually puts this match on in at Elimination Chamber in Perth just to kind of throw it away, and then The Rock goes away. So that's just kind of my main thing. I the guy before talked about it, but I just want to talk about that kind of business part.
Yeah.
If you have anything to say about it.
Yeah. Jason, and we'll get to his email, is lives in Perth, and he emailed about The Rock situation. And he said, for those unaware, unlike when USC comes to Australia, the WWE show will be taking place prime time in our local time zone, meaning an early morning show in the U.S. And right now, it's 1:15 p.m. In Perth. So if the show starts 8 Perth time, that's 7 hours from now. So you're talking 6 or 7 a.m. start time in the United States. If I'm doing math on the fly correct here.
Yep.
And so the question, you know, like, could WWE say, you know, wake up and start on delay if you're not a morning person, or if you are, if, you know, if you start at 8 or 9 a.m., which is not totally unreasonable, you know, you're joining the show midstream and the Rock match hasn't happened yet. I don't think it disqualifies it. I mean, if it was earlier than that, you're putting Rock on at 3 in the morning Eastern, that's a little crazy, or 4 in the morning. It's, you know, like Wrestle Kingdom or something. So I'm not going to rule it out, but I mean, that's the thing. That's why I'm just sitting here trying to figure it out, because I don't think they want to dislodge Cody from the journey he's on as a guy in his prime who's really popular. And so, we shall see, obviously, what they have in mind. I like that we don't know. And they're going to take us on a journey just like they did with Sammy last year. But the time zone issue is certainly something. But they've gotten people used to different times for shows with the Saudi Arabia shows too. Darren, what's your take on that point that Jimmy's bringing up?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, obviously, but under the kind of the new era, it's not that much of a deal breaker as it has been in the past, because they really count on like the total views and not the live views. So that might not necessarily be a deal breaker. Look, you know, it kind of sucks for the fans over here, but as long as people actually watch the show, that's all Peacock cares about. So the live viewership isn't that big of a factor as back in, how it used to be under the old business model. So it's something to consider, but I don't think it would be a deal breaker.
Maybe the early morning start is why they want The Rock, because they're actually worried about people just reading results and viewership. And when we put Rock and Roman on in the main event, everyone's going to tune in at 9, 10 a.m. to, you know, their local time, whatever it is, or in California, you know. It's going to be different across the country, but, you know, it'll get people to tune in because they have to see what Rock does live. I guess that'd be my counter, Jimmy. It's, I don't know if it's counterintuitive, it's just another perspective on it. But, I mean, and it's, you know, sometimes it's, well, we are committed to the Roman Cody story, and we want it to be at WrestleMania. We want to finish that story. We don't want Rock to look like he's bigfooting somebody, like, you know, CM Punk kind of accused him of doing back, 10 plus years ago. So this is a way to avoid that. And but it's not perfect. It's not perfect. No question about it. Jimmy, back to you.
Last thing, I guess, is just that I think people misunderstood. I mean, again, Cody and Roman had no relationship before he came in the company. The main story is that his father never won the title, and he wants the title that his father never won. Roman happens to be the champion for, my goodness, over 1,200 days, as we all know. And I just think that, I mean, if I was fantasy booking this and The Rock agreed last minute, I don't think Randy winning. Randy's a huge superstar. I mean, he's been around for God knows how long. I think Randy and Cody have history. I think you could do Randy, Cody, Punk, Rollins, Rock, Roman, no title, and I feel like that's the perfect Mania main event. And I don't know if that's just me just thinking what I would like to see, but I guess it's how hot WWE is that you could put on The Rock first match in how many a decade plus in their domestic market. That's not a typical time, but I don't know. Would be fascinated that The Rock is going to wrestle a match at that hour, but despite, you know, what the new, you know, global Triple H's term, Paul's term a few years ago was a new global localization. And I get that. And I know money talks and they had their most successful year, but I don't know. I've been a wrestling fan for a long time, and I would be shocked that The Rock is wrestling a match at 1 a.m. in their domestic market. So that's all. I just wanted to bring that up. It's crazy to me.
Well, so when you say 1 a.m. in the domestic market, what market are you talking about? Because I want to make sure I'm not getting the time zones all wrong. Because if it's just past 1 a.m. now, or 1 p.m. there now, then the show would be starting here in the early AM hours, but in prime time in Perth, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. Well, it would be somewhere. It's 1 a.m., 2 a.m., but not a major.
Yeah, it's just The Rock,
normally...
I guess. I'm thinking of, like, almost 300 million followers on Instagram. It's just crazy to me that.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's money. I mean, I don't like to look at rumors and dirt sheets, but I've heard that money has been offered by the Australian government, and I think that's what it's about, sponsorships, and that's kind of the world we live in now, and money makes the world go round, and I think that's it, but I just don't think that Cody needs to be Roman. I just don't think that's – I mean, they were teasing – when that show Rivalries was on Peacock, Roman was teasing a Rock match. I mean, this has been a match that's been teased for way before Cody was even in WWE's stratosphere. I mean, obviously he was employed previously, as we know, but – so that's all. I don't want to go on a tirade. I've been a long-time wrestling fan, long-time listening to you. I know you're, I know you're good and business-wise, and I just watched that tonight, and I – it's leaning towards Elimination Chamber, but I don't know. As a wrestling fan, if you ask me 4 years ago when Roman kind of first returned and he was a heel and he, you know, got the title, beat Bray and Braun in that triple threat match, that the Rock and Roman match that's been teased for so long would be at a you know, less than 2 months of build, and the Rock's just going to, you know, go away after that. It's just, I don't know. So that's all. I don't want to keep going. I'm just, I guess, befuddled.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where we are right now. So
no,
thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, I appreciate it. So, Darren, Randy beats Roman at the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Cody wins the Rumble. Cody, Randy, legacy history there, multi-generational wrestlers. And then Punk wins Elimination Chamber, takes on Seth for the heavyweight title. And then it's a head of the table match. With Roman and Rock. So you headline night one with a double header of both world title matches, maybe. And they do rock, paper, scissors, see who goes on last, Cody Orton or Punk Seth, or it depends on the finish of the match, maybe how it's booked. And then you close out night two with Roman Rock head of the table. I mean, should we be ruling that out? Does that intrigue you? And do you think it's even, you know, plausible?
It could work, but you would have to, of course, Roman Rock would headline one of the nights, but I would think the other one would have to be Orton against Cody. But if you do that, the problem is then CM Punk's not in the main event, and I'm sure he would take a perceived slight very well. I mean, I don't see any kind of track record.
I don't know if he has a ton of leverage to demand when he's on at WrestleMania. I mean, he's got value. I mean, but I think he's going to be like, yes, no, thank you. Put me on in the opener. I am just happy to not be in AEW anymore.
I wonder.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
he brought in
maybe
some. Right, you could say that. But, I mean, he's brought in some big gates and some big merchandising, so he might think that, you know, he has a little more clout. He might very well. So he might think that, yeah, I've got some more leverage now. And so you have to be careful about that aspect of it as well. But as far as the matches themselves, yeah, I could see Orton against Cody. It's a little more disappointing that he doesn't take the belt off the guy who held it for the 1,200 days or whatever.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only
thing
that's disappointing.
Yeah, I get what Jimmy's saying. You know, it doesn't have to be Roman. That's, you know, he laid out why. I won't repeat what he said. And there's a point to that. But is Cody really completing his story if he beats Randy in the same way? Does that really launch him? Or, yeah, it doesn't. It's ending that you know, mega long title reign of the head of the table and the centerpiece of WWE's,
right,
you know, TV ratings on Fox. So, yeah.
Roman is tied into that story now, for better or worse. He's beating he's kind of almost synonymous with that title now. So you don't want to remove that aspect.
Yeah. Well, we're off to a flying start here in 2024. Thank you, WWE. let's go next to Joe New York. Thank you for your patience. William in San Diego and Jane Michigan are also on deck. Joe, welcome. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Happy New Year, everybody. I just want to say
Happy New Year.
A lot of good topics. First of all, I think everybody's overthinking the Nia Jax thing. Nia Jax won because her cousin, The Rock, was in the building tonight. Think about it. They want to make The Rock happy. Don't overthink it, people. The Rock was there. It's his cousins. They want to make him happy. But that's not what I want to talk about. One thing I do want to talk about, I'm going to do this in reverse. The main event, it happened in the main event and it happened in the women's match. That suplex that they're doing on the outside of the ring, they are asking for another Big E injury. They got to stop doing that suplex on the outside. Mm. Rollins did it, and it happened in the women's match, too. That is a dangerous move, and all you got to do is just land on your head, and you're done. And I don't like it, and I don't understand why they want to do it. And as for The Rock, I mean, that was an excellent segment. I mean, no, let me rephrase that. The Rock segment was fine, but I almost flipped the channel. They left Jinder Mahal out there too long. He was about 5 seconds away from me flipping the channel because I don't know what the hell they were
doing. It did go on a while, yeah.
But that was ridiculous. And like I said, I was 2 seconds away from flipping that channel. And then even The Rock, he got a little boring there with that. And he did the same thing he did on SmackDown with that half the crowd do this, half the crowd do that. And that's boring. I don't know why they think that's such a great thing, but they got to get away from that. You did that twice. Come up with something new next time because that's not doing it. And let me just say one more thing. For WrestleMania,
yeah.
What I think they should do there, a little different, but, you know, The Rock should beat Roman. It makes sense for the head of the table. Rock is the head of that family. He is the head of the table. Now, what you could do, have The Rock beat Roman on Saturday, and then third generation versus third generation, Rock versus Cody, and Cody wins. And that's The Rock's final matches. Because at 51, this is going to be it. I get 2 matches out of Rock. There you go. TKO gets the great WrestleMania that they want because it's TKO. And, you know, I think that's great. It's a fresh match, too, Cody and Rock. And you get Roman and Rock. 2 great matches. That's a nice way to end a career. An in-ring career, I should say.
Darren, what do you – we have a whole new scenario there. What do you think about it?
I don't think they're going back to back with The Rock. They're going to be lucky to get 1 match out of them. So it's a nice scenario, but I can't see it happening. But you could do a double main event of Roman Cody and Roman doing 2 nights, maybe. You could do that. And although that might be a stretch to get Roman to do 2 nights at this point. But, yeah, I can't see the Rock as intriguing as that is. I can't see him doing back-to-back.
But Roman, I mean, he's got no excuses for anything. He goes home to go home. At least Rock goes to Hollywood. He's just home to be home. So you know, I've had it with him. The title reign is a joke as far as I'm concerned. He showed up 10 times.
I guess he's preserving himself.
Roman's has the leverage and the luxury to be home for his kids as they're growing up. And there's something to be said for that.
Where was he going? Where was he going? He wasn't going to AEW. Where were they so scared of? Where was he going? Impact? He wasn't going anywhere.
Well, I'm sure Roman could make more money working more dates. And he's like, I don't need more money. I want to be home with my kids. That time's priceless. I don't know that's what he said at the meeting, but I'm just throwing it out there. You know, I mean, if that's his choice, I admire it. He left tens of millions of dollars on the table in his career to pick his kids up from school. I mean, I admire that if that's his motivation, because, you know, how much money does anybody really need?
I don't think he left any money on the table. I think he's getting paid the same amount of money if he worked 365 or if he works 20 days. I think they gave him the boat. I don't think he left any money.
Yeah. No, I think he's doing – I think he's getting more money than he'll ever spend and more money than he probably wants to give to his kids. So, you're right. But, you know, time off is good if you can get it. Time freedom is nice. And he's putting in his time, and not everybody gets to be at that point. But
one other thing, CM Punk advertising him for next week. You're in WrestleMania season now. They better stop doing that because they're going to start pissing off a lot of fans and a lot of hometown crowds, because that is not a good thing. That's not what people are looking for, especially now that you're in January.
Get them on TV every week.
Yeah, get the stars on TV. It's go time. Yeah. This is even for the part-timers. This is WrestleMania season. Let's go. You work these 3 months, January to April.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Yep. No, you go ahead. No, sorry. No,
Well, you know, what do you think about that suplexes, though? Why do you think they're doing those? Because I think that's an injury waiting to happen.
I think they feel they can pull it off, and that the Big E thing was a quick incident. And, I mean, the wrestler's mentality, I talk to them, I ask them about it, and they just tell me to relax. We know what we're doing, and if we didn't, we wouldn't do it. And WWE has a better track record. You know, they have a good track record in terms of wrestlers not doing needlessly complex, dangerous spots. And AEW has less of a record, despite what Tony Khan said in his media Q&A Saturday night. You know, I've made the argument and pushback that, you know, that AEW wouldn't benefit in terms of the product being better. And if there was an economy of moves, and when they do big spots, it counted for something. Darren, what do you think about Joe? At ringside and the danger involved, and if you think that is a risk not worth taking?
I think they can be done safely. I do get concerned that you don't want to repeat the Big E thing, and that might give fans, you know, pause to be more cautious, like, hey, we remember what happened, why you should not do that again. So I absolutely see the point of that. I'm more concerned of, like, buckle bombs where you don't have any control when you're going backwards and you could hit your head. I thought they had stopped doing that for a while, but it looks like I see it come back, and I'm more concerned about that one. I think the suplexes on the floor can be done more safely, though.
All right, Joe. Well, you gave us a lot to think about. I appreciate it.
Yes. Have a good night, everybody. Happy New Year.
Bye. Yeah, you too. Yeah, Happy New Year. All right, we are going to go back to San Diego and talk to William next, a regular caller here. William, welcome. How's it going? What do you think about tonight?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Happy New Year. I guess all the big topics have been pretty much, you know, been picked clean. Going back to the main event and that the failed cash-in, I feel like it's going to be a record for Damian Priest, because how many times they booked him to come out and tease the cash in, and that leading in some way to a distraction, or, you know, some kind of interference that kind of, you know, leads to the finish of the match. I mean, how many times can you keep trying to tease that and getting away with it before, you know, people kind of catch onto the fact that it's not leading anywhere. And also, like, I still, even after all these months of Damian Priest carrying around the case, I just, you know, I like the guy, and I think he's a great act, but I just can't imagine him, like, doing it successfully and, like, carrying the title around and being, like, the focal point of one of the brands. How do you guys feel about Priest with the cash-in? Is it ever going to happen successfully? Is it too much already with all these, you know, pieces of him coming out and doing the same song and dance over and over again?
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine Priest cashing in against or attempting to, or I don't think they successfully cashing against Cody. You don't want Cody to win and then take it from him. But I can see him trying to cash in and then coming up short, and that being a key storyline plot point in the Judgment Day or his career. Maybe on the CM Punk side of things, maybe Punk beats Seth and Priest cashes in against Punk, and that sets up a Punk rematch, and he gets a rematch and gets the belt back. Just kind of throwing different scenarios out there. It doesn't have to happen. You know, all these scenarios are after WrestleMania. Darren, what do you think?
I've said all along, I think he's going to fail in the cash in when it eventually happens, which I thought was going to happen tonight. I was pretty convinced, but it did not play out that way. I think they'll play around with it maybe one or two more times, and he'll cash in and absolutely fail, and that will lead to him finally breaking off from the Judgment Day. But if he were to win it, I would not have a problem with that, because I think he's really rose to the occasion, stepped up his game after putting in that performance against Bad Bunny, and I think the way he carries himself, I would give him a shot at it. I think he's done well, and he has a good presence and everything. I don't know if this is necessarily the time to do it, though, so I'd wait till after WrestleMania and, as you say, maybe cash in on Punk or Seth or something like that and see where that goes. But I wouldn't do it right now in the heart of WrestleMania season. It just seems kind of forced.
Right. Yeah. Well, what else?
Moving on to another topic. I was actually at the show today, and I want to talk about the reaction to The Miz. And, you know, I feel like it's too soon to even bring this up because he just turned babyface, but he was doing a lot of his gestures, like the big balls thing that he does and everything, and wasn't getting much of a reaction. I think between the two of them, you know, R-Truth and The Miz, Miz was definitely the one getting the lesser reaction, at least from my point of view there in the arena. And I feel like every time, you know, they try it with him, with the doing the baby face run, it just doesn't work out. So do you guys see this lasting much longer before they kind of go back to what works with him, which is, you know, just being that annoying, arrogant baby face? Heel.
Yeah, I think they're going to stick with this for a while, and I don't think they have super high expectations for it. So I don't think if a crowd's not super into him that they're going to be all that concerned. I just think they see him as a statesman, veteran, legacy, you know, upper mid-carder who they can put in the role that he was in tonight. And I think they can I think they imagine it being fine if he doesn't end up making over after turning in every city, or if every situation doesn't lead to big pops. There's something naturally unlikable about The Miz that's hard to tweak and augment and not remind people of why they booed him for many, many years. But he's very WWE loyal. WWE fans are very loyal to the brand. And Miz has developed the skill of pandering well. It sounds like a dig, but it is a craft. it's a skill, and there are fans who want a company guy taking shots and making, you know, sour lemon facial expressions towards heels. And there's going to be kids who are into it. So I think they're going to stick with it, Darren. And I'm not ready to just give up on Miz not getting more often than not nice, you know, not great, but nice pops in most cities and most circumstances. What do you think?
I just always had the feeling that it was just temporary, so he could have that feud with Imperium and that they would eventually go back to him. The thing you just said do make sense, but I think his strengths lie as a heel. I don't think that this is at the top of their priority list by any means, but I think he'll eventually go back to doing what because that's what he does best, is just being a hateable guy, a guy you can beat, you know, you can put him at the opening match or later on in the card, a lot of flexibility. So that wouldn't surprise me to see him go back to heel.
And it's easy to turn him because he can be like, you know, I tried being nice and you guys weren't.
So easy, yes.
Yeah, it's easy, yeah. William, anything else for us? Including on-site observations from being in the arena.
Oh, just from being in the arena, I was going to confirm that for Eric, the other on-site correspondent, not to worry. There was not a dark main event match between The Rock and CM Punk, so he's good. the only thing that happened.
William, you know, you and I think differently because I thought you were setting it up. I'd like to confirm for Eric that he missed a great bonus match, CM Punk against Brock Lesnar. 30 minutes, some of the best action we've seen. Dana White walked out to observe.
Sorry. What I meant to say was that match did not happen. Instead, we had a triple threat match with Roman Reigns, Rock, and CM Punk. So, yeah, it was he missed that.
Oh, okay. perfect. Thank you. Saved yourself.
But no, the only thing I can add, I think I agree with most of what he said. The only thing I can add is that I was there. I think the last time they were here was at the July 4th show a couple years ago, 2022, I think. And it was just drastic, like the amount of people that were here, the difference, just complete sellout, not a single empty seat that I could see. And yeah, I mean, this comes up pretty much every week at this point, but yeah, it's a really hot product right now with what WWE are doing. And it was incredible seeing it that full. I don't think I've ever seen that arena that full for a WWE show, at least.
Yeah. I mean, they sold out and they had to, you know, put some extra tickets for sale, according to WrestleTix, you know, less ideal positions in the arena, but they every ticket that they had available, they sold late and made a few extras available and had over 11,000 paid in the building, or 11,000 distributed, and obviously almost all of them paid. So, it is a hot product right now, and they're experiencing things that you know, in covering WWE for 35 years is not very common for them. So it's a different kind of boom period, you know, than other boom periods, but. You know, the metrics are different for measuring it, but yeah, I mean, fans being willing to buy tickets and pack an arena at high prices is, to me, the number one metric of a hot product. And you know, certainly huge TV audiences is there too, but you can have a huge TV audience who are watching out of habit, but they're not willing to leave the house or spend money, to go see your show. So when you're drawing the types of crowds WWE is, in one city after another, yeah. You know, something's working.
To add to that, to the, you know, people willing to pay the prices, you know, I was kind of with that mentality of before, like, you know, it's WWE, they don't really ever sell out here in San Diego. I can just wait to the last minute or wait for those second market tickets to go down, and it just never happened. And then they, of course, had to go ahead and make it a special, you know, New Year's, almost pay-per-view kind of thing, which that helped. But yeah, no, a really fun show. Obviously didn't expect the Rock to be there. That was a nice surprise there. But yeah, I think that's all I had. Thank you guys for taking the call. Have a good one.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, William. Appreciate you calling and holding for so long. We'll talk again soon, I hope, I'm sure. All right. We will wrap up our caller portion here with Jay from Michigan. Jay, thanks for holding. What's in your mind about Raw tonight?
Well, thanks for having me. A lot of the topics, man, have kind of been touched on. I feel like there was a lot of good callers tonight, and it was a lot to talk about, man. It was a really great show.
Yeah.
So I think I'll tackle some of the nuanced things that necessarily aren't nuanced, but first of all, I do want to say that every time I call, I always want to point out a point that you made, Wade. WWE is on fire as a product, you know, and everything they're doing is pretty much working. I want to use that comment to segue into some other of those nuanced comments I was talking about, like, and I called a few weeks ago, man, because, you know, I don't usually call on Mondays, but I called a few weeks ago. And, you know, when I called in tonight and was listening to some of the callers, I know you guys were talking about Sasha or Mercedes, whatever we're going to go by, you know, coming back to WWE or going to AEW. And I think you had said that you would want her to go to AEW, and I would too. And it's the reason why I wanted CM Punk to stay in AEW. Like, I think I would love for AEW to step it up and really thrive, and they need those type of centerpiece acts to do so. So it's so much better for the business. Like, I think anybody thinking MJF is leaving AEW is out of their mind. You know, there's really no room for him in WWE right now. He's a centerpiece act in AEW. The money is probably not that much. I mean, he's probably going to make more in AEW, so he's still young. He's got plenty of time to come to WWE. Right now, there is no role for him, and he'd just be lost in the shuffle. So I wanted to say, man, I say all that to say this, and I'm asking more so than anything, because I think that there are a lot of wrestling business aficionados on the internet that, you know, seem to understand the wrestling business and how it goes so much better than myself, according to them, and others that are actually in the business. So I haven't necessarily heard this mentioned tonight, and it may have been mentioned, but I haven't heard it. And I know you're not a fan of these type of things, Wade, neither am I, but I don't see any way that anybody talking themselves into saying that Cody doesn't need to beat Roman is just ridiculous. Like, you're talking yourself into something that you couldn't even possibly believe. Like, I hate when people say, oh, he doesn't have to beat Roman. Like, yes, you do. Everybody has to beat Roman to be the champion right now. Like, that is the that is the match. That is the match. And my point is this. I don't know how they'll play. And when The Rock came back at SmackDown, I was kind of like, all right, they'll probably go with The Rock and Roman. But being that he never really did anything else in between, and it's kind of like oddly placed that he would show up in September, whenever that was, and make no mention of Roman. Well, not oddly placed, but he made no mention of Roman on SmackDown, but then he showed up on Raw, and obviously we're on our way to Mania season, and then he mentions Roman. So, you know, I guess some of the reports are that they want him at Australia, you know what I mean, or whatever the case may be. And I heard you talking with one of the callers about the time zone difference, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to get to my point. I know I'm going on kind of long, but I have been on hold for a long time too. So the point I want to make is this, man. I think from a business standpoint, like one of the other callers mentioned this, like what, the concept to me is kind of outdated that people would say, oh, The Rock against Roman is the biggest match, the biggest business, et cetera, et cetera. Like, the brand is the business. Those tickets are already sold. Like, this is not the 80s or the 90s where you're relying on The Rock or Stone Cold to pack the house. Like, the house already packed with, and there's nothing advertised. Like, house been packed for months. All of the everything, the money is already made pretty much. So, to me, the best business would be Roman's. Roman's been our centerpiece act, the guy that we've always tried to get into our centerpiece, to be our centerpiece act. He's been this for the last 3 years. But year by year, you know, his output has gone down. So with him entering into this phase of his career as a part-timer, The Rock shows up every few years, if that. Like, the most best business, and historically speaking, WrestleMania has always been about crowning that next baby face. And they have that in Cody Rhodes. You know, he hasn't lost as much momentum. Even though everything has been holdover this year, he hasn't lost the momentum. You know, why would you not use that opportunity to crown this next baby face that you're going to need, that you need to build around, because Roman's not really there. And Rock, you can't hedge anything on these guys at this point. Like, you have it right now with Cody. Why would you not crown him at WrestleMania? And if you have to do this, just do it as a triple threat match. Roman, Cody, and The Rock. Because if Punk's going to win the Royal Rumble, Cody's going to have to find a way to get into that match. And, you know, The Rock, they both will have an angle to get in. I think that putting Cody in, making a triple threat, saves the fact, like, I don't think anybody's expecting the Roman against Rock match to be some type of, like, five-star classic. We know what we're going to get. It's
right.
Going to be the aura of those two guys standing across from each other. But if you actually want, if you want work rate, you want a good match, Cody and Roman is the match. So why not put Cody in there to buffer the fact that Roman and Rock probably wouldn't even make a good match? And Cody is the guy that I think the majority of the people really want to come out on top. And then you make Cody by saying Cody finished his story in the main event of WrestleMania against Roman and The Rock. So, you know, long statement, long-winded, you know, promo I just cut. But, you know, dissect that for me and what you think.
Darren, go ahead and respond first.
You make a compelling case for that. I think that most fans, though, want to see the one-on-one matchups. If they absolutely had to do that and there's no way out of it, yes, they could make that storyline absolutely work. Heyman on the mic would tie all of it together, and they could absolutely make it. I just think that the two singles matches would be more compelling just to for most fans.
And, you know, Vince McMahon isn't around anymore in the creative sense input, but as you said, we're in the storytelling business, and Paul Levesque is an understudy of Vince McMahon for all the issues between them and the family dynamics, and the politics and everything. You know, he knows. And the story of Rock against Roman one-on-one and the story of Roman against Cody one-on-one is what is going to sell tickets, and the star rating is isn't crossing anyone's mind. I mean, Roman is not a star rating mark. He is not. He wants to draw ratings, buys, PLE views, sell merch, and go down as a legendary, successful figure. And he is not worried at all about star ratings. I mean, it's just he wants to put on a good show, and he wants the crowd reaction he's seeking. And we can critique whether sometimes he belabors some of the stretches of his matches, and if he should have advanced style-wise in the ring a little bit more and taken more pride in that. I'm just stating a fact. That's not what he's worried about. I don't think WWE is. I think they know they're going to make money. Some of the biggest, gates and most revenue has been drawn for matches that were not going to be great in the ring. And, there's an audience for great matches, and AEW is delivering it, and they have the audience that they've earned. WWE is doing – they're in a they're in the same business but doing it differently. Bigger budget, more inertia, a head start, but a bigger talent budget, a lot of other things that work in their favor. But they're also more in the character building and storytelling business, and there's a big audience for that. And so I don't think match quality and it's not like, Cody was, Cody was known as like the king of three-star matches. I mean, this is not, Will Ospreay, who's going to just take things to the next level, but Cody can work with Roman and he could work with Rock too and have a good match, and maybe it'll happen. Probably not. But yeah, I just don't think they're even crosses their mind that they can't hit the threshold of what they need to in the star rating sense for either of those one-on-one matches. And I don't think they're worried at all about it.
Back on me.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jay. Yeah.
Well, I think maybe I misrepresented what I was trying to say here, because I'm not really a mark for the star stuff either. What I was more so trying to say is that I think that, if the bridge is crossed where we get Roman and The Rock at WrestleMania instead of a Cody, involvement at all, I think that the match quality suffers, because I do think that there will be a contingent of people like wanting Cody to be in that match. And then that's when I feel like, we've seen even like the Roman Brock match from Mania a few years ago. Like, I don't feel like that match really went over well. Like, we've seen Roman main events not really like hit their mark at WrestleMania, not during the Tribal Chief era, but that, with the exception of that Brock match. But I'm looking at the Brock Roman dynamic, and I'm seeing a lot of The Rock and Roman, what they would do. It would just be a lot of power stuff, a lot of big moves, and just kind of rinse repeat type stuff. Whereas, like, I'm not saying Cody is like the most outstanding worker, but I do think that him and Roman had an excellent match at WrestleMania, and it was so compelling because it was actually a shred of doubt that Roman could actually lose that match. I mean, even Cody was favored, so. I think that there's a great chemistry there between Cody and Roman, and I don't know how it plays out, man, but I just don't see how, with the stories being told, with Triple H being the student of the game that he is, like, I don't think that it's smart business at all to leave Cody just sitting on the sideline. This is something Vince would have done, but to, like, leave Cody out of this moment, like, I don't think that's very good long-term business, and, You would know a lot better in that way, but that's my opinion on that.
Yeah. Cool, Jay. Well, keep listening, because Jay from Hartford has sent an email responding to what you have had to say. So we'll get to that in a moment, too. In fact, if you want to hold, I'll read it
can
to
I
you.
Can I add one more?
Here. Can, oh, sure.
can
yeah,
I add
ahead.
One more thing?
So, yeah, do it kind of quick. We're running real long here. Yeah. I didn't even
okay.
hold a long time.
One thing I really like about, Seth Rollins as champion is that Seth is, he's one of the best in the world. He's very believable that he can beat anybody, as he should, but he's also been a believable, somebody who could be vulnerable to losing. So I think that they've managed to, like, capture the imagination in a way with this title that you don't have with Roman's title. It's like, even though Seth is great, it's been moments in his title reign where we felt like he could lose to Finn Balor. We felt like the Judgment Day would catch up to him. Even these two matches with Drew McIntyre, I felt like he was very beatable, and, you know, it took a lot for him to win. So I just really like how Seth Rollins is carrying this title, and, man, he really took, you know, he took lemons and made lemonade, you know, and just turned this title into something that's really, really meaningful. So, you know, I wanted to add that as my only comment because I haven't really heard anything mentioned about that portion of it with Seth Rollins. So I'll hang around for this email that you have now.
Okay. Darren, do you want to say anything about that? We've talked about a world title match getting losing its headline status. That was
right. Yeah. But yeah, they did have a great match tonight, and that continues. Seth, he's had a strong reign as the whatever they call his title, doing a great job delivering in ring. And yeah, I agree.
All right, so Jane Hartford said, hey, wait, I heard the caller after me, and I had to follow up. Well, I enjoy Cody. It's not so much that I'm a Cody fan as it is that I'm a fan of this run and the storytelling. While Rock Roman has been talked about online, it's not really been hinted at much on television. The Cody story has been the story. I love The Rock, but from a storyline perspective, beloved babyface Cody deserves, and lots of fans are clamoring for him to finish his story on the grand stage. Besides, The Rock will lose anyway, right? I don't want to see another Mania or PLE main event with Roman cheating his way to a win. Get Rock out of the way before Mania, or save it for SummerSlam. Mania is Cody's time. Thanks for reading. Jay, anything you want to say to Jay?
No, that's 100%. I'm in 100% agreement. I mean, we know that Roman's going to beat The Rock. It's like, why are we even dancing around like Cody versus Randy? Come on, man, knock it off. Like, okay, I get it, but we can do Cody and Randy after Cody's champion. You know, this is about Cody and Roman. This is about Cody taking his spot as the top guy in the business, and he has to do it against Roman, and he has to finish his story that way. There's just no way around that, in my opinion.
Very good. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate your contributions. Yep. Good night. Happy New Year.
Thank you for having me. Good night. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. All right. We'll do a couple quick emails and wrap up here. Darren, you knew we were in for a long show, especially if we had our switchboard working with Rob.
Right.
All right. Jason, who I mentioned earlier, is from Perth, says, as someone living in Perth and having spent a great deal on a ticket to Elimination Chamber, that tease from The Rock certainly has increased my enthusiasm for the show. I'll try to contain my excitement until anything has been made official. Yeah, that's probably wise. But, you know, keep it in mind. With some possible big moments at a packed stadium, Rhea in her home country, Rock versus Roman, Cody or Punk solidifying a Mania main event spot in the chamber, it's shaping up to be quite the show. For those unaware, unlike when the UFC comes to Australia, the show will be taking place prime time at our local zone, meaning an early morning show for the U.S. My only concern if The Rock does wrestle is he's looked absurdly large tonight. Given his age and size, I just hope he can get through unscathed. Although if it is him and Roman working, I assume it'll be a very deliberate pace, as Roman's matches tend to be. Yeah, that is going to be every trick in the book in terms of, you know, body language, stalling, facial expressions, jumping to ringside, consulting Paul Heyman, Rock beating up Solo Sikoa at ringside, you know, whatever it is. I mean, and it's going to be entertaining, but it's not going to be kind of the traditional work rate match, Darren. But that just doesn't matter, right?
Right. Yeah, he's not going out there like Will Ospreay by any means. It'll be a storytelling match and probably Jeff Jarrett maybe brawl or something like that with weapons or something. So he's not, you know,
don't bring on the match into this. There's no way Rock and Roman can have a match as entertaining with as many twists and turns as Jeff Jarrett. That is an unfair bar.
Indeed.
All right. Azan and St. Louis to wrap things up for us. What's the end game for R-Truth at Judgment Day? And is this stuff helping grow JD McDonough's career? Darren, what do you think of R-Truth? We talked to Onset Correspondent about it. R-Truth standing in a neutral corner, tricking JD into taking him in, which was, you know, if you're going to do this gimmick, a clever moment in the match. And specifically to Azan's question, what do you think the end game is?
I've been actually entertained by this more than I thought I would be, but I think he'll spin off to do something with The Miz, and maybe they'll pair them up and then maybe team them up, feud them or something like that. I think eventually there'll come some breaking point where he just kind of breaks off and does his own thing. But it's been entertaining, so I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah. And number two, Kofi Kingston looked different tonight. It was the first time in a long time he wasn't wearing anything that said New Day. Did you notice that, Darren?
I didn't. Not until you really kind of pointed it out. No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. how long or if ever they'll get back together. I assume they will, but it's kind of fun seeing Kofi in a different context right now and not acting like New Day Kofi. And finally, in 2024, what would I like to see from? Oh, okay. So in 2024, what would you like to see from Jey Uso, Damian Priest, and Shinsuke Nakamura? Yeah, I kind of ran down Priest. I think he's more a post-WrestleMania cash-in situation. And if he fails on the cash-in and then Judgment Day give him a hard time about it, maybe that's where, you know, he ultimately splits off and goes babyface. I don't know. Nakamura is going to be a utility guy. You know, these vignettes with Cody are good. I like the production value. So that was a little bit of a stretch that he had a whole post-produced captioned, sure, illustrated with graphic novel type illustration response to Cody's live promo. If I was WWE, I would have worked a little harder to, you know, make that believable, either by having Cody issue a challenge online, like over the weekend, and then, you know, say, as Shinsuke knows, as I said on social media over the weekend, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and then Cole can go, hey, Shinsuke saw Cody's challenge or his words. He sent this into us. And, you know, just cover a little bit. Come on. Jey Uso, yeah, that's more. Darren, what do you think? Is Jey spinning his wheels a little bit, or and are they missing out on something? Or do you think this is just kind of a holding pattern, kind of like Cody feuding with Shinsuke?
Yeah, I think he's in a holding pattern until they pair him up against his brother, which is the direction I think they'll probably go for WrestleMania. So in the meantime, he's just kind of hanging out and teaming up with different people.
Yep, that's going to happen sometimes. Cool. All right. Darren, anything else you want to add?
Really, that was it, except that I thought they handled the injury with Vinci very well. They just got out of there, made sure he was fine. So I liked seeing that. It, you know, it's not worth keeping the match going. Just, you know, take care of your business. So that was good.
Fina Kofi's reaction was kind of weird. He was, like, angry at the ref for stuff.
Yes.
Did he not know what was happening? You know, like, was he literally, like, kind of out of the loop? Did he get knocked silly also? Or did he just use some puzzling judgment in terms, to me, puzzling about how to react to getting a TKO win, basically?
Right. I was confused about that.
Yeah. All right, very good. Darren, it's been a blast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. We are at the beginning of what should be a wild ride for, you know, for several months and beyond here as we enter 2024, especially with Will Ospreay showing up in AEW this year and becoming a centerpiece act and probably having a world title reign. Who knows what's going on with MJF? Will Samoa Joe get a serious centerpiece push in AEW or not? When will Kenny Omega be back? On and on. I mean, AEW's got, and Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné stuff we talked about. AEW's set up for an interesting year, and WWE, this was a quite the start with a big Friday coming up too. So join us then. Spread the word, let people know about our show in your circles on, you know, Reddit or social media or whatever. Let people know how to find this show and listen to it. We'd love to have new listeners during the season. And as always, wherever you listen to us, take a moment out if you can, give us a 5-star rating and add some comments, some kind comments if you're a fan of the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. And go VIP, pwtorch.com/goVIP. Thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you all next time.